Well, just to say, it's lovely to be with you here this morning. The last 2 days I've been with Henry, we've been up in London, and we've had a very blessed time together. And it's always good to go away. You have much more time to really talk things through. In church, sometimes you don't have a chance to share all the things that you want to share. And we had a really lovely time, got back 9 o'clock last night, and we're very encouraged with Henry. He started a new children's work in a place called Bather, just up the road from our church. And last Sunday morning, in the beginning of the service, I noticed Henry on the phone. I thought, that's unusual in the middle of the service. He walked out, and I thought, oh, I wonder what's happening there. And after the service, he said, one of the kids from the club is looking for our church and has gone to the wrong church. And they phoned up during the week, and he and Caitlin have gone to pick them up this day. So we're very thankful for little things like that. And we have what we call a grandparents and seniors service this morning. So some of the people are bringing their grandparents, older people along. And I know you can be a grandparent young today, so it's not just the very old ones. And Henry's preaching. So thank you for praying for him. And I hope we haven't stolen him from you. But we're very glad to have him with us. Well, we're going to look at just a little bit at Galatians chapter 1. But before I do that, I just want to mention criticism. How do you feel when you're criticized? Sometimes criticism is good for us. If it's just, we need to learn to take it. It's hard to take criticism. But if there's truth in it, we need to reflect and ask, what is that saying about me? Well, the Bible says that as Christians, we ought to be iron sharpening iron. So there's some things that I say to Henry that might wound him a little bit, not on purpose, but there's some things that he might say to me that challenges me. And that's good for us. It can be quite painful when somebody says, maybe you're not quite right in that, or maybe there's something that needs to be corrected there. But it's good for us, isn't it? We don't like it, it's painful, but it's good for us. But when it's unjust, and when you know somebody's wanting to put a knife in your back, and when you know somebody hasn't got good intentions, but they're seeking to bring you down, that's another matter. Now, the Apostle Paul, he received that from all sorts of quarters, people speaking badly about him. Now, he received good reports, and he received bad reports. And the bad reports would say things like this: this man, Paul, is weak. This man, Paul, isn't really preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ. This man, he's one thing when he writes a letter, but you put him in person before you, and he's another thing. He's not the same person. He can write things, but when he's present with you, he's not really the same as what he writes. And all this was done by people who didn't agree with the message that Paul was preaching. Now, he said this when he was writing to the Corinthians. He faced a lot of criticism by people who we call false apostles, people who claimed that they were from God, claimed that they had a special commission by God, but didn't. They felt that they were better than others, superior to others. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says this: I count it a very little thing to be judged by you or any human court. In fact, he said, I do not even judge myself. God is my judge. Now that's real maturity as a Christian. That's saying, no matter what you say about me, and no matter what I say about myself, in one sense, it doesn't really matter. What matters is what God says about me, how he judges me. Because I know when I judge myself, sometimes I get it wrong. I can be too lenient on myself. What really matters is what God thinks about me. Now, why do I say all this? We're coming to this little book of Galatians. I'm just going to share a few thoughts to you from one verse of this Bible, this passage. But it's written against a background of criticism. There's been these people who've come to the churches in Galatia, and they've been causing confusion. They've been perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at this in verses 6 and 7. Paul has been there, he started these churches, and after he started these churches in a region called Galatia, other people have come in. And they're saying things like this: yes, you can believe in Jesus as your only Lord and your only Savior. But you've got to remember that the church started with Jews in Jerusalem. And we as Jews, we practice things like circumcision and food laws. And in order to be really accepted by God, yes, you believe in Jesus that he died for your sins and you're trusting in him, but you must also follow these Jewish laws that go back to Moses. You must be circumcised. And you must follow certain rituals that we follow. There's certain foods that we can eat, and there's certain foods that we cannot eat. And they would say, look at the law. Look at Leviticus. Look at what God has said in the Old Testament. If you don't follow these laws, God will never truly accept you. And Paul said, this is an absolute false teaching. This isn't true. We're all sinners, and it's not by trying to obey God's law in the Old Testament that we can be put right with God. It's faith only in Jesus. We're all sinners. No matter how hard we try to please God, we can't do it. And there's certain things that the Old Testament said that don't actually apply to us. There was this ceremonial law, which included things like sacrifices, the offered lambs and bulls and goats. They had priests, and they had circumcision. And they needed to understand that all of this was just pointing to Jesus Christ and fulfilled in him. And these things were over with. And so when Paul writes this letter, he's really concerned. He says this in verse 6, I'm astonished that you're quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ. I'm really amazed that you should go back to something that which isn't the gospel. And he uses very strong language. He says, these are the people, whoever they are, they deserve to be eternally condemned because they're leading you away from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. They're leading you away from the true message of the gospel. They're leading you to confusion. They're leading you into error. They're getting you back to the thought that you ought to try hard and work hard and do your best and not do this and not do the other, handle this and don't handle that, and make sure all your boys who are born are circumcised. And they're getting you back into something which brings you into bondage. Look at this, he says for chapter 3, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. You need to remember that it's Jesus and him crucified. He's the only one who can put you right with God. Don't be bewitched by this false teaching. It's not through keeping the law, but it's through faith in Christ alone that anybody can be saved. Now, we're very briefly going to consider three things about what is this good news? What is it about Jesus on the cross? I want us to focus on verse 4 in Galatians chapter 1. It says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Now, when we hear the word rescue, the word deliver, that means the men and women, boys and girls, are in peril. They're in danger. They need to be rescued from something. Now, what's that all about? Well, I just want to explain something that happened to me over the summer. Over the summer, I was asked to go to Mozambique because I have the Portuguese language, and I was there for 2 Sundays away. And when I was away, my family forgot to put out the green bin that contained a lot of rubbish. When we got back, we were off on holiday. And we're off on holiday for 10 days, and then we got back and it wasn't green bin day, and then we went off to the Aberystwyth conference. And for 5 weeks, the green bin hadn't been put out. When we got back from Aberystwyth, it absolutely stank, and it was crawling with all sorts of things, and it was terrible. Thankfully, the next day, the bin man came to take it all away. But it made me think of the human race. You see, in that bin, originally, there was food that hadn't gone off. Originally, it was on the supermarket shelves, and it was good. We maybe couldn't eat it all. And it went off over a process of time, became putrefied, and it stank. And that reminds me about something about the human race. When God made this world, he made it perfect. Everything was perfect. He made Adam and Eve, who were good. They were morally good, morally upright. But they sinned against God. They rebelled against God. And as you read the Bible and you come into Genesis chapter 6, not many generations down from Adam, the whole world has become absolutely putrefied. It stinks. The thoughts of men's hearts are continually evil. And there's so much violence and so much wickedness in the earth that God says he will judge it, and he brings a great flood. Now, when we read this verse, verse 4, it's saying that Jesus Christ came into the world to do something for a world that is in this condition of offense against God. A world that's turned its back upon God. Adam was the first man. We're his children and we follow in his footsteps. We're born in sin and we practice sin. We rebel against God and we're an offense to God. But God sent his son into this world to deliver us from our sin and from being a part of this evil system which corrupts. Now, society has tried all sorts of things. Today we say, well, democracy, wouldn't that be the answer for the world? If we can make every country in the world democratic, wouldn't the world be a better place? If we could stamp out all these false ideologies, communism, and all these dictators in the world, and if we could stamp out every government that oppresses his people, and we had democracy, wouldn't the world be much better? We have democracy. What is our land like? What are our politicians like? Are they wise? Can they get on well? Is there love? Is there agreement? What about our society? We say, well, education's the answer. Give people brilliant education. We've got, compared to the rest of the world, excellent education. What are our families like? What are our children like? What are we like? Why is there so much disintegration? Why is there so much breakups? Why is there so much sadness and so much delinquency? Why? Has the answer been democracy? Has the answer been education? Is it wealth? I don't know where we are on the scale. Sometimes you hear we're the sixth richest nation in the world. Has that benefited us? You see, the only answer for this world is the Son of God. And he came into this world to deliver us, to rescue us from our sins and from this present evil age. Now, again, when I was away on holiday this time over the summer, all the family were away, there was nobody left in the house. Something happened to our fridge freezer. I don't know if it's a power cut or a fault, but it went off. And one of our daughters, we have four daughters, she came back and I think it had been off. There's a whole section, whole phase of electricity that had gone down, been off for about 10 days. and that fridge freezer also stank. So we not only had the problem with the bin, but we had the fridge freezer. Now that reminds me of something. Our problem as human beings is this. It's not that we don't have enough money or enough education or enough goodwill or teaching. Our problem is that we're actually cut off from God. The problem with that fridge freezer, it was cut off from the power source. And our problem is this, we're cut off by our sin from God. The Bible says we're actually dead in our trespasses and sins. And Jesus Christ came into this world to deliver us from this state of being at a huge distance from God. Now we read here something astonishing. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for people like you and me in our sin. He loved us so much that he was willing to step into this world to take upon himself human flesh, to be tempted like we are, to put himself under the very law of God, to be hated by men and women, rejected, coming to his own people, being rejected by them, and loving us so much that he would go to a cruel cross to bear the vileness of our sin and to bear the judgment of God that we deserve for our sin. And he came to deliver us from this present evil age. There's a wicked one, the prince of the power of the air, who works in the sons of disobedience. And there's a principle of evil in this world, and Satan is at work. He's blinding the minds of unbelievers. He's using the media to corrupt people further and keep them in their sin and make them go further in their sin. He's opposing the Church of Christ. He's sowing lies and ideologies, false ideologies. We live in a present evil world, a present evil age. But Jesus Christ came to deliver us, to forgive us of our sins, and to bring us out of a kingdom of darkness into his kingdom, the kingdom of light and of love. Now I want to ask you this morning, have you known personal deliverance? Do you know that Jesus Christ has loved you and given himself for you? Have you repented of your sin and trusted in him? Have you experienced a change in your life? That you can say, yes, he has delivered me. I'm now no longer what I was. Yes, I know I'm still a sinner, but there's come a wonderful change about in my life. Now I love God. I still sin, but I love Jesus Christ, and he's entered my life. And I know that I'm no longer under the rule and the dominion of sin. I'm under Jesus. He is my Lord. The only message that can save you is the good news about Jesus Christ. Do you still stink? Are you still going from worse to worse? Or have you been reconnected? We reconnected our fridge and freezer and it's working perfectly now. It's connected to the source. Are you reconnected? Have you come back to God? You were once cut off, but if you've trusted in Christ, you're now united to God. May that be so for each one of us. Amen. Well, we're going to close by singing, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story.